Hey ladies, welcome to Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited that you're joining us on this podcast where we encourage women and inspire them to fully walk in everything that they've been called to do. We believe that each person has been created with a specific purpose, and it is up to us to walk in it, to discover what it is, and to allow it to fully manifest in our lives. And so each week we have conversations that allow us to evolve and grow and to fully understand and embrace the purpose called on our lives. And so ladies, without further ado, let us get started. Hey guys, so I'm so excited as I am approaching my 200th episode. I'm so excited to be offering a masterclass webinar to help you maximize your voice, elevate your brand, and increase your influence through podcasting. Y'all, podcasting has been one of the absolute best things that I have done. There have been so many benefits beyond monetary that I have been able to gain from podcasting. I've been able to build collaborations. I've been able to increase my influence. I've definitely been able to elevate and maximize my voice. And I am going to talk to you about how to get started doing this very thing for yourself. So if you have a voice, if you have a message, if you have a story, if you have a brand, even if you are a professional in your field and want to be seen as the expert or have expertise and knowledge that you want to share, I absolutely encourage you to start your own podcast. We've all been given different gifts. We've all been given different purposes. And the brand and the message that you have deserves to be heard by other people, right? We have to begin to increase our influence. We have to begin to get the message and the brand and the purpose that has been placed on our lives outside of our four walls, right? Or our micro community, and allow the greater masses to hear it. So let me tell you a little bit about what you'll get with this masterclass webinar. This masterclass webinar is an e-course that will be teaching you how to start your podcast, how to use your podcast to elevate your message and your brand, how to repurpose the content, right? Repurposing is king, y'all. How to choose a podcasting host, how to monetize. We'll talk about marketing ideas. We'll talk about interviewing. I give interviewing tips. I have a bonus category where I go over interviewing tips. I talk about recording and editing and some of the things that I do as far as lighting, because I like to use video and audio, all about repurposing, okay? And I'll talk about the equipment and things that I use to allow me to be consistent and show up every week for you guys. I'll also talk about like getting your guests, vetting your guests, and the process that I use to do this. Listen, this is over 200 episodes worth of information that I have gathered and things that I have learned on my podcasting journey, and I'm absolutely sharing it with you. As a bonus, you will also get a podcast planner. This planner will help you break down your episodes. It will help you break down your topics, your questions, your ideas, your guests, their bio, all of the things that go into producing your podcast, right? And so I'm so excited to be offering this. If you are interested in maximizing your voice, elevating your brand, and increasing your influence, click the link in my show notes and purchase this masterclass. I'm so excited and I can't wait to hear your podcast when I go to my phone on the podcast platforms I use to be able to hear your podcast. All right, y'all, happy talking.
I think the goal for me when I interview people is to see who they are, not necessarily what they can bring to the team. And when I found that when I approach it with that type of a posture, people are a little bit more honest. And I can appreciate that honesty, whether they're a good fit or not, because that will tell me half of the challenges that I might face in the initial onboarding stage. Because
I I used to discount things like that. When I was a solopreneur, if somebody would tell me, you need to get somebody to do SOPs, I'd be like, girl, I don't need all that right now. You know, and that's how, that was me thinking small, really. And thinking that my business was going to stay like this and it was going to always be me and those types of things. But I realized that when it was time to grow, or when I started to grow and it was time to expand, that you can't, it's very difficult to grow and expand without having those foundational pieces there.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited about this conversation. I have Andrina Sawyer with me today and Crystal Porterell with me today. And I'm so excited about this conversation that we're going to have about team building. And these ladies are phenomenal. The things that they've been able to accomplish in their businesses. And so I'm really looking forward to having a conversation centered around building teams. So before we get started and we get into the topic, I would love for each of you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business, what you do and why you do it. I'll start with Andrina.
Thank you, Tisha. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited about this conversation. A little bit about me. I do run a nonprofit called McQuinn, which is the abbreviation for Minority Christian Women Entrepreneurs Network. It's a super long name, but it's very niche. It's very intentional because our goal is to serve women who are at that intersection, who are concerned about issues of diversity, issues of faith, and of course, entrepreneurship and professional development. Background, I was born in Freetown, Sierra Leone, small country in West Africa, grew up in New Jersey, currently live in Baltimore. And when I'm not running McQuinn, I'm doing consulting work for other people's nonprofits and small businesses.
Listen, why didn't know that you grew up in New Jersey? I didn't know we was Jersey girls.
You didn't know that? Oh my God. I wear Jersey on my sleeve. I'm such a proud Jersey girl. I tell everyone.
It is crazy. Me too. I can't. Every time somebody, like when we get on Zoom chats and someone's like, where are you from? I'm like, well, I'm in North Carolina, but I'm a Jersey girl.
Right.
So that is so cool. Thank you for sharing, Andrina. Crystal, now, if I pronounce your name wrong, please correct me. But Crystal, I'd love for you to tell us what you do and introduce yourself.
Yes. Well, I'm Crystal Potterell, and I'm not a Jersey girl. I'm an Oklahoma girl. I was born in Oklahoma, but I actually have been in South Carolina for 8 years. So I feel like this is my home at this point. But I'm a brand strategist and designer, and I'm also an author, and I own a brand and website design agency. I've had that agency for coming up on 8 years now. And so I love it. I'm passionate about the work that I do. I work with women almost exclusively now. Before, I kind of went back and forth on that, but that's just where my passion lies. I like to help women build their brands the same way that I've been able to build my brand. So I'm excited to chat with you guys today.
Thank you both. I want to say just a little bit about what I've been able to glean from both of you, which is one of the reasons why I wanted you to be a part of this conversation. Andrina, watching her, being a part of her network and watching her build this community in different chapters and in different states, and just having the ability to allow women to like gravitate to you and actually wanting to serve on your behalf and on your organization's behalf is a gift, right? To be able to do that. And I know that it's intentional the way that you you move and you allow that to be created. So I'm happy to be a part and to also to see that, you know, in work. And Crystal, I love me some Crystal. Every time.
I love you too, girl.
Every time we get on a prayer call, so we're part of a community together called Epic Fab Girl. And every time we get on the prayer call, Crystal has so much, like, I just love her heart for God and his favor just like rest upon her. And the things that she's been able to do in her business in this short time, even though you've been in business for a while, but there's been like a short time.
It wasn't really, you know, given what it was supposed to get for 6 of those years. So really the last 2 years has been when I've just seen, you know, some massive growth.
Yeah. So I've loved seeing that journey. And so I know a part of that journey for both of you guys are building teams. And so I'd love to hear more about when you realize that you needed a team in your business. And I'll start with Andrina.
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. But let me back up and say, first of all, thank you for being a part of McQuinn. One of the things that I prayed for when you're talking about people gravitating toward, you know, an idea or a cause, I prayed for a specific type of person to work with, and you just embody that. And so I'm really grateful for that. When did I realize I needed a team? I realized I needed a team with my first business, Park Consulting, when all of a sudden the demand exceeded my capacity. So I thought I was good at what I was doing. I was comfortable serving maybe 2 to 3 clients. And then when 6 clients needed my services and I tried to juggle that and realized the quality of my work started to diminish because I was doing too much, that's when I realized I needed to build capacity, because I could continue to serve these people and provide mediocre support because I was tired, I was burnt out, or I could figure out how to start scaling by hiring one step at a time. It hit me maybe year 3 of entrepreneurship.
I love that you bring that up, and I want Crystal to answer too. One of the things that it made me think about is how a lot of times in entrepreneurship, it's challenging to go from being a solopreneur to now managing teams and being an entrepreneur with people underneath you. And so we're going to get into that, like how that was and dealing with that. But Crystal, how about you? When did you realize that you needed a team?
Kind of like Andrea was talking about, or Andrina, I realized that I needed a team when it was like, okay, I have all of these clients and I don't know how to continue to serve them mentally, because especially being in a creative space, it's like, I think people think you kind of just throw things together, but being in a creative space, you need time. So you need some margin in your days and in your weeks to actually complete projects for clients. And when I got to the point where it was like, I feel like I can't be creative, and like I have a logo design to do and I can't do this because I am so busy and I'm thinking about all these other 10 logos that I have to do coming up after this. And so when I started to feel that mental, you know, space kind of shrinking and creative space shrinking, was when I was like, okay, I need some help here. I need a team.
So let me ask you, in knowing that you need a team, was there like a struggle with sharing your baby, so to speak, with other people? Because now other people have to be responsible for certain things that you can't just like put your hands on. How was that for you guys? Any one of you can answer.
I will say absolutely for me, it was, and again, just with the creativity, I used to always say, which is crazy, I used to always say, nobody, I will never have somebody do what I do in my business, because I feel like my clients love me. They like my designs. They like the way I do it and that type of a deal. So when I actually started to say, okay, I need to hire people, I was bringing people in, but I doubled my workload when I started to bring people in at first, because I had my hands in everything and I was still saying, well, no, do it this way, and not really giving them that creative freedom. It took a while for me to realize, like, if you're going to hire people, you need to actually hire people and let them have the creative space to do whatever it is that they need to do. But it's definitely, it does feel like letting go of a baby, because you've cultivated this thing for all these years and then you're letting someone kind of run with that vision. But as business owners, we have to realize that that's what we have to do. That's what God has called us to do, is write the vision and so that others can run with it. So.
And I'll echo that. And I'll admit, I still struggle with that, Tisha, because, you know, there's this realization that I think all of us get to, which is that no one's going to care about your business as much as you care about it. And it doesn't matter how invested they are, you have a tie to it that no one else has a tie to. It was hard for me initially to do this because I actually had someone steal from me in business before I decided to intentionally scale. Right. So to give you all a little bit of context, before I decided to actually scale and hire subcontractors and consultants and all that, I hired an assistant, like a virtual assistant, just to help with admin to test the waters. And then I found out that that person had been stealing. And so getting over the hurt of that and then thinking about strategies for how to protect my business was like another kind of hurdle that I had to jump over. In addition to just the mental kind of challenges that you go through when you're trying to figure out, how do I relinquish control? How do I trust that people are going to follow through? But it's hard. It's hard. And to this day, even 11 years later, it's still a challenge.
So would you say that that has been your greatest challenge in building teams?
No, I would say intentionally building culture has been my greatest challenge. Yeah, I have this belief that anybody is hireable, right? You can hire anyone because you can teach just about anyone anything. When it comes to like the technical competencies, you can put someone in front of a YouTube video, read a book, send them to a class. But what you can't teach with teams is culture. And helping people see big picture and helping people navigate from the same core values. And that's been my biggest challenge, is getting everybody on the same page and then helping them to consistently practice what's on that page.
I wanted to like go like this, because, you know, so I have a master's in organizational leadership. And so I'm, you know, it's very important to me, the type of, and that's probably why we click, see?
I didn't even know that.
Yes. About building culture. And just the one thing I'll add about that, and then I want to go to Crystal about her greatest challenge, is that, you know, it really is on the leader to create the culture that they want in the organization. And I feel like a lot of times I think that if a leader misses that, then it's not going to be created. You're just going to have people doing different things, and it's not going to be reflective of what it is, the vision that you have and the mission that you have. And so you have to be super intentional about creating that dynamic and what that looks like. And so that's my little spill. I'm not going to get all into that. Do another podcast on that. But Crystal, what has been your greatest challenge?
Well, first of all, I can definitely echo what was said about culture, just in the sense, I think for me, communicating the culture and what I want was very difficult for me, because as, like you said, as a solopreneur, it's like you have this thing that you know, that you know how to do it, you know that you have a heart for it and all of those things, but then actually communicating that to a team and communicating, you know, the core values other than them just reading them on a page can be difficult to do. But I would say my biggest challenge actually has been finding the right people to hire at the right time. Because again, as a designer, I was like, okay, the first person I need to hire is another designer, you know, whereas a lot of people think the first person they need to hire is a VA, right? In the online business world, everybody's like, I need to get a VA first. But I think as I went along with my team, I started realizing that maybe there was other people that I should have hired at a different time, and having some strategy behind when I was actually hiring people and, you know, allocating the funds towards those people and all of those things. So I think the timing of hiring a team and who to hire was probably my biggest challenge.
So I have a question for you. How are you able, or have you been able, to get over that obstacle?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, there's no, you know, sexy answer. That really is just been time. It's been time and trial and error, and me literally starting out by hiring, because the first person that I hired was a VA. And then I started hiring designers after that, realized that wasn't the order that I needed to do things. I actually needed to have someone come in, help me do my SOPs and get out all of the solopreneur stuff that I was doing. I needed to get that all out on paper and so that people could follow a process before I even started, you know, hiring people that needed to follow the process, right? So I think really it's just been trial and error. I don't have a magic formula for that other than just going through it really.
So interesting, because I just did a podcast recording earlier regarding systems in business. And they were talking about how important it is, like the system keeps things continuous and running and doing what you want it to do. And we were talking about the SOPs and how a lot of entrepreneurs are good with the doing of the work, but not wanting to be in that space where you have to sit down and talk about the process to get the work done so that you can scale, so that you can have a team. So I completely understand that. Andrina, I'd like to ask you the same question about what you were mentioning regarding creating culture. So how have you begun to get over that obstacle or to move past that challenge?
So I'm intentional about starting the process of onboarding people with clarity about culture and my value. So when I usually, it's a little unconventional, right? So when we onboard people to join our team, I intentionally make the interview very conversational and casual. Because again, I do believe that with technical competencies, you can always support people through professional development to get that. But who they are, their personalities, their likes and dislikes, especially now in a remote culture, that's the stuff that's really probably top priority for me. So I started with that. I started changing how I vetted people from the onboarding stage. And then when we're talking about systems creation, the next step in making sure that people assimilate to this culture is making sure they have some kind of orientation. So uniformed orientation. Everybody gets the same thing. You get the same language. You're exposed to the same side of Andrina. And if it clicks, then we can kind of build on that momentum. If it doesn't click, then we can kind of figure out what could the issues be with helping you to transition and being a productive member of our team. And from there on, you know, it's kind of out of my hands. But as long as the vetting is controlled and the onboarding is controlled, then I can kind of support them and make sure everybody transitions into culture in the same way.
And one of the things, because I've sat on some of the team meetings, one of the things that I think that you do really well is even that continuously bringing culture to the table, continuously talking about the environment, right? Continuously talking about the feeling that you want people to have. And so I think that that's important as well. And that happens just about in every conversation that we have. And it's not always like direct, like, this is the culture. This is, you know, whether it's around like conversations, like how do you think that we can, what type of experience are you having? Or do you think that the clients are having? And then from there kind of spilling into like the experience that we want them to have. And so it's like, I love the way that you guys are creative in how you continuously re-engage us with the environment or the culture that you want to have without just like throwing the words up there.
It's so funny that you are describing it that way, because that's what the back end conversations sound like. We have to be able to frame this without beating people over the head. So it's intentional, but it doesn't always look like it's intentional to those who are not paying close attention. And that's part of the strategy. It's just such a make or break thing. And when you ask about challenges, one of the challenges for me with this was embracing that it was counter corporate culture. Because in every other, you know, community that I've been in for professional Black women, the emphasis is on the professional, you know, and not necessarily the Black woman. And so there's a way that we do things as professionals. There's a way that you show up, you present yourself. Even if it's not always authentic, it's just the way that it is. And so making culture and giving culture the precedent in this process is like, it doesn't necessarily fit to what, it's not necessarily what you're used to, but it's what works for us. It's almost like the first time I went to church in jeans and it worked for the church. And I was like, but wait, you don't wear jeans to church, you wear dresses to church, but it worked, you know? And so learning how to just embrace that and be okay with it was a challenge for me, but it works for us.
I love that flexibility. So Crystal, I did want to talk to you a little bit about ways in which you pour into your team. Because, you know, and I think we're segueing into that a little bit because I talked a little bit about what Andrina does, but what ways do you pour into the team as you're developing them?
One of the things we always do, well, first of all, I'll just say that authenticity is something that was coming up for me when you guys were talking. And that's one of the ways, that's how we pour into the team is, you know, being authentic and saying, hey, what is it that you're actually struggling with? You know, how are you feeling about how things are going here? And what can we help you with? And out of having those authentic conversations with some of my designers, I realized, okay, we need to be doing some training. So we've implemented, let's do training on Adobe Illustrator, if that's what you need, you know, or that type of a deal. Another way that I pour into them is also putting them to the forefront. I never want to be an agency where it feels like I'm doing everything, but then you never know that there's another designer over here that designed that logo, or there's another somebody else over here did this piece of your project. So actually allowing them to come to the forefront, and some of them were scared because we do like Loom videos where we present things to clients and things. I'm like, y'all gonna do these Loom videos. I'll show you how to do it. But I always want them, I can tell that it makes them feel needed. It makes them feel, you know, supported when them to showcase their skills and who they are as people as well. And so that's important to me. Coming from a military background, I know that it's easy to get lost in the shuffle and you feel like I've done something and I'm not being recognized for that, or someone doesn't know that I've done that. And so that's a really important thing to me when it comes to my team.
I love that. And it also sounds like you are seeing them as individuals as well. Absolutely. One of the things that we talk about in like team development is that everything doesn't motivate everybody. Like people have different motivations, people have different ambitions, people have different needs, right? And taking the time, I think when you talk about that authentic piece, taking the time to get to know them as an individual, their ambitions, what motivates them, and then being willing to be flexible as you can, you know, because you can't do everything, but to institute some of those things that will allow them to thrive in that environment, right? To feel invested in that space. And so I love that you shared that. Thanks so much, Crystal. Andrina, how about you? Did you want to add anything?
No, everything actually that you both said was what I was going to say. For me, it's the personality, just working on the relationship, not so much personality, but building relationship intentionally without crossing boundaries. So even a simple question like, how are you today? And actually waiting for an answer and not getting right to work matters, like that matters. And then also empowering people. I think for me, and maybe I'm ultra sensitive to this, whenever there's a power dynamic in teams, like a hierarchy of sorts, people come in with a little bit of intimidation. And they're not quite sure how much freedom they have to be themselves. And so I found that when I try to intentionally empower people, they become more vocal, right? So it's not just about them responding and me being a taskmaster, but it's about them actually being like a productive member of the team. And what I've also seen is that those who feel really empowered then begin to empower other people, whether intentionally or subconsciously, and then all of a sudden the morale is better because everybody is thriving and being their best selves rather than just being an employee and someone that's being like managed.
So good. I want to like, did you take these courses with me? Because empowering people, like the whole premises or idea around leadership, right, is that you're building other leaders. Like you want people to rise to their best ability, and you want them to be able to bring other people along. And I think so often people, you know, they get stuck with not wanting to build up the person, you know, for fear that they're going to leave or they're going to know more or whatever the scenario may be. But it really empowers you. And I'm sure that you guys have heard the quote, like, you don't want to be the smartest person in your circle or in your team, you know, and like the weakest person is going to represent like how far you go and what you're able to do. And so you want to be empowering and building everyone up, you know, on your team. It only makes you stronger. So I'm loving this conversation. I'm losing my okay, so can we talk? We've been talking about the challenges. We've been talking about like when you realized you needed a team, but how has your team benefited your business? Like what has been the blessing in all of this for you? And we'll start with you, Crystal.
They have definitely been a blessing. Well, first of all, they've allowed my company to grow. But I will say that there's been some key positions that I have hired that have been like the gift that keeps on giving. like they have set things up, like some of the foundational things in my business that will allow my business to thrive years from now. And I think that I look back on the days when I was doing everything by myself and I was like, nobody can do what I do and all of those types of things. And it's like, girl, your mental health was jacked up. Like all of you were busy, like all of these things. And I think, and I do communicate this to my team on a regular basis, that I am just grateful for them. The people that are on my team and also contractors that I have, because it's not just people that are like in the team. It's also contractors that we work with on per project basis. I'm always telling them, they're like, I don't think any boss ever says like thank you this much, because they have literally changed my life. They've made it to where I'm not that person with my laptop in bed anymore. And so that has just been fantastic. So
do you mind sharing a little more specifically, but not necessarily like telling everything, of like one thing that they did that is going to, because you said it's going to live on for like the life of your business. So if you can just
give that an was one of my that. Admin girls that I was talking about, but just that position overall, the one who I was talking about did my SOPs. She has set up, you know, workflows and processes and things that literally, regardless whether it's that person in the position forever or not, those processes and things that she set up will live forever. And the way that she has taught us as a team how to do those processes ourselves as well will live on forever. So it's really amazing. That was definitely, like I always say, that position of that foundational stuff was the gift that keeps on giving.
I love that. You know what? So I have an administrative background, and I was working with one client, and we were actually working her podcast. And prior to that, I was just like kind of just doing my thing, right? And so she was like, well, we got to put some SOPs. I really need some SOPs in place. So I was working with her to get these SOPs down. Let me tell you, it's the gift that keep on giving for her and for me. That nice little template I sent y'all. It's, you know, so I'm that does my heart good. As someone who helped do that. Hey guys, so sorry for this interruption, but I just wanted to come on and just talk to you about ways that we can further connect. I get a lot of inquiries in my DM about ways that we can go beyond the podcast. And so I just wanted to take the moment and give you three different ways that we can further connect and partner. And so the first way is, did y'all know I had a YouTube series? I have a YouTube channel entitled Tisha Talks, and there's a lot more content there and conversations that I've had that could absolutely help you as you are continuing your journey to do life well and to do business well. And so that's the first way. The second way is, If you're having a conference or an event and you're looking for a speaker, someone who is committed to living a purpose-filled life, to providing transformative information, to growing and empowering individuals, I am your girl, okay? I would love to partner with you as you build the communities that you're in. I would love to be a part of that, the things that you are doing in your environment. Like, this is what it's all about. It's about us being impactful in the spheres of influences that we have. And so the link to be able to book me as a speaker is also going to be available in the show notes. Now, the third way is kind of similar to the second way, except maybe you're not looking for a speaker, but you're looking for a host, someone who can facilitate, someone who loves to connect people together, someone who loves to build community, someone who loves to empower and encourage and just enlighten and bring another sense of inspiration and just enjoyment to the room. Here I am. I'd love to partner with you in that way to help make your event a success. And so for all of these different ways for us to partner and connect outside of the podcast, links to this will be in my show note. And I'm super excited to get to know you beyond this space right here. All right. I'm going to stop talking. We're going to get back to the episode. Enjoy.
Because it's very easy for everything to fall apart without having those.
I love it. How about you, Andrina? What has been the gift that has kept on giving, or the benefit or the blessing in developing a team?
Look, as Crystal was talking, I was like, oh, thank God I'm on mute. Cause I was like, hallelujah, amen. Like, you just said so many good things. I think for me, the biggest blessing is freedom. And Tisha knows this, but Crystal, we had our annual conference a week ago. And prior to the day before the virtual conference, we had an expo, a small business expo. And so many people came up to me and said, this team is amazing. And what I realized was, for the first time, and actually, let me back up and say, an example of how amazing they are. Someone from our team texted me the morning of Small Business Expo and said, make sure you go get a pedicure or a massage today. Y'all, I have never in my life, in 11 years of activity, had the freedom to step away and do self-care because they knew it would be stressful for me. So the freedom of I can trust people to do their work. When they look good, McQuinn looks good, I look good, and it all works together. That freedom, I can't quite put it into words. But I recently realized something else. There's such a blessing in letting people thrive in their gifts. Most of us, that's all we want in life. I know so many people, myself included, who would do work for free if it meant that I was in a happy place, if I was content. And so I figured out that with my team, when people are thriving, when they're doing what they love and they feel supported, it makes all of us look good. And there's so much blessing in that. We recently onboarded a graphic designer, right? So McQuinn's been around for about 4 years. And all of this time I've been doing social media, I am not a creative in that way. And it sucked, honest about it. And then we get this random person. And I say random because of the circumstances, of how he came to us. But he starts doing these graphic designs. And all of a sudden, it elevates our presence. And that elevates our confidence. And then it elevates our value. And it just all works together. And I'm just like, you know what? Let people work in their giftings, because everybody looks good when people are in their lane. So that's been the biggest blessing.
Yes. I'm going to be like, yes. It's not enough to have the right people on the bus. They got to be in the right seats. Oh. And you let them in the right seats. Yeah. By their gifting, by the things that they're actually good at. Okay. Two more questions before we end. So we're talking about onboarding people, hiring people, contracting people. So all this costs money, right? How did you break free from that challenge of, like, you know, stepping out and paying for this or funding this? Or yeah, I'm just gonna leave that out there and see how you guys were able to do that.
We still trying to break free now. That's another thing that keeps giving, is that you got to continue to pay folks. But, you know, for me, it was better for me to start out doing on a per project basis. That was a way that I could relieve some of the workload that was happening, you know, when I was growing, but also I could hire people knowing that I had the funds there. So that's how I personally started. And then I started to hire people into the company. Now, I will say, because I'm not going to make it seem like everything's peachy keen, that there were moments where I was like, I probably should have stayed with the per project basis for a little bit longer. But, you know, sometimes you get out here and you start listening to people say, hire, 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 and you start hiring folks and you're like, oh my God, I got to make payroll. And it can flip into a stressful thing. And so I will say that definitely starting out with the per project basis is what I would still recommend. And then also looking at things from, you know, go into MBA stuff a little bit, but just looking at things from, like, how much profit do you have? How much have you set aside for this specific employee? I think in online business, a lot of times people don't talk about those things. They just start saying hire, but it's like, you need to be putting back a percentage of, okay, I need to hire a designer. Let me put back a percentage of my profits each month and save up to make sure that I have 90 days or whatever it is, whatever your trial period is. Make sure that you have that set aside to actually hire that person. These are all things that I'm thinking about, which I know, but now I'm thinking about in retrospect, wishing that I would have actually, you know, used the knowledge that I have instead of jumping out there and hiring folks without doing that. But yeah, you can start. I think it's just starting small and not feeling like, start growing before you start trying to scale. And I think it's like, let your business start to grow slowly, and then you can start trying to scale once you reach that point in revenue.
Oh, girl, know why I
answered the question.
No, I was over here because, see, now I feel like I've been a jack of all trades. So I've done, like, finance management for people, entrepreneurs, and I'm telling you, the stress. I mean, I remember I used to have to make phone calls like, payroll is tomorrow. Where is coming from? how are you doing this? You know,
What pot are we pulling from?
Right. And then don't mess around. Client didn't pay somebody, you know? And so now, and it's not, you know, any slight on the individual, wonderful person, but it's a real reality. And so now you're pulling from personal funds to, like, you know, take care of the people, because you want to take care of your people too. So I love that advice to relieve stress from all ends. And even I'm looking like, how, no, baby, how am I going to get paid? You know, okay, I'll take a week, you know, but even just because you're vested in, y'all laughing at me, but I'm telling you, I mean, I've done that for, okay, let me just stop talking about that. But it is a real thing. It is a real thing. So I appreciate you sharing that. How about you, Andrina?
I mean, y'all are just preaching to the choir, because I get it. Like, I remember with Per Consulting starting out, the first set of employees sitting in the conference room and telling someone who just had a baby that payroll was going to be late, and it wasn't going to be tomorrow. It might be more like 3 weeks. And it just is so, like, it's one of those things I hope I never have to do again. But the reality is, that's one of the hardest things, is cash flow and payroll and all of that in finance. And when people hire, they think it's just about the paycheck that the person gets, but there are additional expenses that support that, right? There are taxes that you have to pay. There are equipment that each employee needs. There are materials, office supplies, things. And it's just, we don't always, you know, do those numbers. We don't calculate those numbers when we're thinking about hiring people. For me, there are two things that I do. One is, three things. One is, I mostly hire part-time. So only one other person on our team right now is full-time. which is helpful because, again, because of those additional overhead expenses. But then the second thing that I do is I find a way to have conversations with people about how their work affects the bottom line. So for everything from the admin person, to our programs, to our graphic design, what you do, if it doesn't meet this benchmark every month, this is what it looks like on the budget. And so it incentivizes people a little bit more to, you know, meet those numbers, get these number of tickets sold, you know, figure out how to lower venue costs, whatever it is. But we have those candid conversations. And then the third thing is I figure out ways to diversify to offset things. So in the event that our numbers are low with McQuinn, I'm always going after grant funding. Sometimes we'll engage potential donors. You know, there are other things that we'll do just to kind of offset, just in case we don't meet with our direct services. We don't meet our benchmarks every month. But yeah, that's what we do, is we have candid conversations and we intentionally look for ways to offset.
Ooh, I had to take a little note on there when you said having those candid conversations, because one of the things that was really difficult for me when I started hiring people was being open and being transparent about finances and about, this is how much we have made up until this point this month. You, in the back of your mind, you know, payroll, this is how much your payroll is. This is how much we've made. This is the clients we have coming in and out. It's been a process of learning that, like, yeah, you have to be open with your team about and having those conversations. So yeah, that hit me when you said that. So I was like, ooh, because I know that's a tough one to tell somebody what's going on financially in your business.
And Crystal, it is tough. I'm not even going to lie. That's a very tough conversation. And I think had I not had that situation with one of my, you know, first employees, I don't think I would have that posture. But it ended up working out because now, so the conversation, and it's not a threatening conversation, you know, framed as if you don't perform, you're fired because we can't keep you. But it's, here's a little bit of extra motivation that if you do well, the company thrives, you do well. Yes, Crystal, it was a tough conversation, but I'm glad I had that experience. It was a learning moment for me, because what I found is that I was partly driven by not wanting to be in that position. So just being transparent with people, if we were struggling, hey, so it's not unexpected. But then I found that it incentivizes people when they feel like they're a part of, like, kind of the back end process of everything. So I tell them, you know, this is how we're doing. And if you don't meet these deliverables, it can only be good for you. And so I've figured out other ways to motivate people, like adding additional incentives there. So if, for example, everyone meets their deliverables, there might be a nice little, you know, gift card or something, you know, that quarter or that month for people. But all of those things, again, when we put it together, it's about incentivizing people to be invested.
I love it. So ladies, our last question, and that's also a team building technique, the incentivizing, for those who are like influenced by that, I'll just add that real quick. So like some people may be concerned about title. Some people may be concerned about money. Some people may just want to get off early, like want to spend more time with their kids. And so like just being able to know your people and to know what drives them, you know, to want to give their all, you know, and to be committed for the buy-in. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay, so last question. And then after you answer the question, if you could please let everyone know how they can reach you and get connected if they want to further speak with you. So the last question is, what advice or what is one thing? Yeah, what is one thing that you wish you knew concerning teams or team building before you got started?
I can say one thing that I wish I would have known, and I guess maybe it's done, is I wish that I would have actually sat down and done an organizational chart of what I want my company to look like. So taking the vision that I had of what it could be and actually putting that out on paper and putting people in those place or putting, you know, position in those places and understanding what I needed to have in order for the vision to take place. I wish that I would have actually put that down on paper before I started hiring. And so I would say, because that then you can fill in dollar amounts, you can do all kinds of things with that chart. But I think that that would be my biggest piece of advice for anybody that is thinking about hiring is, what is your vision and what positions do you actually need in order for this vision to manifest, right? And so that would be my thing.
I was tempted to steal it, but I won't. I will say, I would tell them, you have the freedom to create the team of your dreams, right? Like, your team is a reflection of who you are. And so don't try to emulate how someone else is building their team, because if it works for them, if it's corporate, if it's serious, if it's high level, let it work for them. But when you're authentic to your leadership style, your team will reflect that. And so when people don't quite fit into the culture, it's not personal, it's just a different culture. But if you're intentional about that, and you make sure that it's not just like this fluid, abstract, like, oh, we're just creating culture, but that there are technical metrics and things, you know, in place as well to kind of balance that out. It's okay. You have the freedom to create the team of your dream. I think of Google all the time and how Google really kind of changed the corporate landscape with how they did things. And so it's almost like it gave the rest of us permission to design teams how we saw fit.
Such good nuggets, y'all, from the organizational chart. Yes, yes, and amen. And to the freedom to build, you know, what it is that you have been, what you have been called to build, right? It doesn't need to emulate anyone else. And so this has been, I could talk about this stuff all day long. So I thank you guys so much for being a part of this conversation. Before we go, can you please let everyone know how to get in contact with you? I will have your information in the show notes so they will be able to, you know, click links to you. But I'd also love for you to share anything new that you have going on that you may want everyone else to know. We'll start with Crystal.
Alrighty, so we are actually in the midst of a rebranding process. So my agency, now called Adder Branding Company, is launching in a couple of weeks. And so I'm super excited about that. In the meantime, you guys can still visit the website, which is adderbranding.co, or you can follow me on Instagram at Mrs. Crystal K, and the K is the K-A-Y-E. you can, that's how we can kind of connect and chat there. That's it.
Well, I can be reached on my website personally, AndrinaSawyer.com. And if anyone wants to learn more about McQuinn, the website for that is mcwenmcquinn.org. And I'm also social on Instagram and Twitter. In terms of what we're up to, so we're back to our regular scheduled program for McQuinn. And what that looks like is we have these meetups in different cities every single month. And so we have about 3 more months for the rest of the year where we'll be doing some networking events with professional women in different cities. So if anyone's interested in checking that out, they can just visit our website.
Thank you, ladies, so much. This has been such a pleasure. I can't wait to listen back to the episode because I'll be writing stuff too. Yes, that's so good. I should have said this. I should have said that. That was good. But I really enjoyed myself, and I know that those listening and those viewing are going to take away so much. So I thank you guys so much. And to my Boss Ladies Connect Nation, continue to do well in life and in business. Talk to you later. Ladies, did you enjoy that episode or what? Did this episode speak to you in some kind of way? I would absolutely love to hear about it. Y'all know it does my heart good when you subscribe and you share this podcast with someone else that you know can absolutely benefit from it. Y'all, we are out here connecting, walking in our purpose, and encouraging each other along the way. I love meeting with you every week, and I'd love to stay further connected. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Tisha_talks and to visit my website, www.tishatalks.org. You'll find the podcast, you'll find other videos, and you'll find other courses and classes and workshops, conferences, the list goes on and on to the things that we are currently doing so that we can further connect beyond this weekly podcast. So ladies, without further ado, I want you guys to walk fully in everything that you've been called to, align your passion with your purpose, and go out there and get everything that has your name on it. Talk to you later.